Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Help DEA keep our communities safe and healthy by participating in National Prescription Drug Takeback Day, Saturday, October 25th. Take action right in your own home by cleaning out your medicine cabinet of unneeded medications. Keep them safe, clean them out, take them back. Find a collection site near you at DEATakeback.com. Do your part to lower overdose deaths and prevent prescription drug misuse before it starts. That's DEATakeback.com.
What is up? Hi, guys. How is everyone doing? Happy Tuesday. We're a day late because of travel, but we're here. We're going to get into some The Other Way chat and Mama's Boy chat, which we're good. I was informed tonight is the debate. So I don't know if a lot of people want to talk or want to listen to me talk or want to hear the debate. So I don't know how we're going to do viewer wise. Hello, Kara's here. Tonight was also the debate. So I definitely don't want to, you know, pull people away. Away from that important situation there. Hey, Gina. Hey, Diva Speaks. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm good.
How are you? How was your day?
It was a long day. How about you?
Same. It was long, but it's fine. I can't complain. There's enough. It's enough craziness that I shouldn't be complaining, right?
Right. Yeah.
So I want to talk about this Other Way episode. Statler and Dempsey were back, and there was some marriage talk, which I wasn't really expecting because, you know, they basically broke up on the boat, on the ferry. So I didn't think that they were anywhere near a point of commitment, but they seemed to move on very fast from their fight, and they were talking. Well, Statler was more taken back like I was. She was like, oh, you think we should be engaged or you should think we should get married? And I was like, no, she shouldn't think that. Yeah. But, you know, Dempsey's like, I'm moving towards that direction as marriage. I'm beginning to question Dempsey a little more now.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what her intentions are. Are you getting like a raised eyebrow with her now?
I'm a little on the fence, but she was so easy to forgive Statler. Like, I'd have pushed Statler overboard a long time ago. So,
well, I will say this. Statler was very clear with, like, I need space. I need time. I don't want to have this conversation right now. And I think that, you know, sometimes when you're having an emotional impact or something going on in your life, I don't want to say she was having a panic attack because I don't think she was. But I know that she was going through some emotional stuff and the fear of being on a boat because I also have fear of large bodies of water. I don't think that that was the best time to have a serious conversation. But I do think that Statler feels that she can talk to people crazy when she's annoyed. That is also an issue. But I don't think that Statler was to the point where she's like, you're just rude to me. You were rude. And I was like, well, she asked you to stop and you persisted. And I feel like the rudeness came when you kept persisting, you know?
I mean, I'm so on the fence about this. I'm so on the fence because I can't stand Statler. That's no secret. But watching her fake panic attack is what is getting me. Like, you use that as an excuse to just be a jerk. Plain and simple.
Well, yeah. You know what? This is funny because we were talking about this yesterday, the day before with Brian from before the 90 days, they use things about themselves as an excuse to be a jerk. You're 100% right. And I think that Statler uses her anxiety, her social anxiety, and her mild, what is it, being on the spectrum,
yeah,
as a reason or as an excuse. It's like a get out of jail free card, right? Mm-hmm. Like when you do something really bad, you're like, oh, well, I'm going to pull my get out of jail free card because, you know, I have bad anxiety or I have this issue. And I don't think that it's fair to use that excuse. I mean, you can use it every now and then, but it's not, it shouldn't be your go-to. And I think Brian specifically on Before the 90 Days, everything is okay because he's a quadriplegic.
Yeah.
Right? And yeah. I was like, well, no, it's not okay. You can't just treat people and lie to people and do whatever you want and say whatever you want. And then when they get offended, you're like, well, I feel like you're judging me. You shouldn't judge me because I'm quadriplegic. No, she should judge you because you're a liar, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But the way Dempsey got over all this shit, it, almost instantly. Also, who drives through a tunnel with her sunglasses on? Come on.
I don't know. Okay, so I wear my sunglasses like in the airport and on the airplane and stuff because I don't like to like talk to random people. But like, yeah, at nighttime, no. You are in a tunnel, that's crazy, right? That's completely
crazy.
Well,
I mean, yeah, it's one thing if you're like trying to disguise yourself or just go a little incognito or whatever. Nobody can see you in the freaking tunnel.
Well,
but also,
and can you also see though?
Yeah, exactly.
It's crazy. And it's the idea that they were so ready to forgive each other and move on after that fight. I felt like that fight was pretty drastic.
Yeah.
Like I felt like they were screaming at each other, calling each other names. And, you know, Statler basically told her to get the hell away from me. You know, like that's pretty drastic. So less than 24 hours later, right? I feel like that's crazy to me that they were already over it and ready to talk about getting married. Right. Even though Statler said, like, within the next year.
Yeah.
I still think that's crazy to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and then Dempsey was like, or Statler says, or 3 or 5 or 10.
I mean, I don't think they should get married. I barely feel like they like each other.
Yeah.
I feel like they don't get along, and I feel like they clash. So I don't even feel like they should be friends. I just don't know what.
Also, like, my other question is, I'm not very familiar with visas and everything and how they actually work, but so how many different places can you travel before you have to bring your ass back home?
Well, I know that certain visas, you have like 6 months, but then there's multi-entry visas.
Right.
Where you can go to multiple places in that amount, allotted time. Well, I know it varies, 30 days, 90 days, and then the most is 6 months. And I don't know, I'm not like versed in the subject, but I know that the multiple entry visa, you can go to like the UK, you can go to Mexico, you can go to like, there's like a bunch of countries on that list that you're allowed to visit.
So my question is, now that she just up and moved out of America, what happens when that 6 months is up?
Well, I think the way it works, you have to go back home for at least 30 days, and then you can go back. Okay. If I'm not mistaken, it works that way, and it, like, restarts.
Okay.
So I think, like, if you stay the 6 months, you have to go back to your home country, and, hey, Taryn, you have to go back to your home country, and then you stay a certain amount of time, and then you can, like, I don't think it's renewed, but, like, you can get another multiple entry visa and kind of start over. But those don't work as well as getting a visa to the country that you want to live in, because if you want to work, if you want to file taxes, if you want to do certain things, it's easier if you actually have a visa to that actual country. Because I think it's weird when people pack up and they move to a country, like Corona, for instance. She moved to another country. She's trying to enroll in school. She wants to do all these things, but she's not thinking about getting married. Because I was like, yeah, you can go there and enroll in school. That's not the same as going there and getting a job. Hey, right. Riley.
Hi, Riley.
It's just, I don't know. I'm beginning to wonder what Dempsey's end game is. What does she want from this? And if that's true or not, what I believe is true, I think that she wants someone to fund her dream of driving across the countries and the nation.
I think that
she wanted to do it. She didn't have the funds to do it. And she found her a sucker.
Yeah.
And I think that that's definitely, that's where we are. And it's funny because I don't want to like think that Statler was right, because we know Statler went off right before the season started and told us everything. And I was like, well, you know what? I want to hear both sides of it. I don't want to just take Statler's word as being what really happened. I want to hear both sides. But I am starting to see things that are making me raise my eyebrow.
I don't know. The first season, I liked them both. I liked them both equally. I thought they were such a great couple. But then in between seasons, Statler kind of went off the deep end very publicly. And yeah, so it made it really hard not to form an opinion about her coming into this season. So now that this season's going, I'm literally seeing all the same batshit crazy stuff I saw like on the internet regularly.
Yeah, she also complained heavily about the way that she was portrayed on the first season. So her coming back for a second season seemed really strange.
Yeah.
And I know that they sometimes film, we learned this together, they film things simultaneously.
Yeah.
So she could have been filming her other season and then they were filming the other way literally within a month or two of each other. So maybe she hadn't seen how they portrayed her yet. Like, she had just finished filming the first season. It hadn't aired yet. And then she agreed to film another season. Because I was like, if they portrayed you really bad and you hate the way you looked, what will possess you to do it again?
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Like, that was so I was like, it had to have been she hadn't seen the episodes. Because you know what's crazy? Do you know how a lot of these TV shows, they will call you into the studio or wherever and they will screen your episodes? Do you know Shark doesn't do that? The cast members see the show the same time we do.
That's crazy.
I was talking to some people who filmed different TV shows, and they were like, well, yeah, we screened them ahead of time. So they know what...
Pillow Talk's a little different.
Yeah, that's a little different. You're right. That's a little different. But I think it's interesting that they don't show the cast members the finished product before it hits the air. Because a lot of these TV shows and movies, too, you get to screen it before the public. Yeah. And I think that they do this on purpose, maybe to keep the cast members from rebelling before the season starts.
Yeah.
Because I would be really upset, right? I would be. If I was on the show and they made me look like a horrible person and I look like I'm a scammer or a liar or a cheater and I'm not, I would be pissed off, right?
Yeah.
I really would. Because, and if they cut and pasted my scenes to make it look like I was stealing or doing whatever, I would be really mad.
Yeah.
So, but I just think it's interesting because they're literally watching the show as we watch it and they're all pissed off. And I'm like, see, I would love for them to let them screen it first. But I guess once it's done, it's done. They're not going to change it. So letting them screen it is just giving them a window of opportunity to ruin the show, right? They're just going to go online and be pissed.
But the only reason they're giving them the opportunity is because everybody's breaking their NDAs anyway.
Yeah.
So they're like saving money because we're still going to air it. So if you don't want to be paid for it, then cool.
So she kind of moved back into Sarper's apartment, right? And he said that he had scheduled a therapy appointment, which he did not. He lied to her face. And, you know, she's like, oh, we have this issue. Now you're a liar and this and this. And I was like, Shekinah's really good at pretending that things bother her. And then, like, the very next scene, they're, like, doing a photo shoot and she's licking him.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I don't know. There's, like, people who pretend that they're bothered by someone's behavior but then do absolutely nothing about
right.
it. You know, and one therapy session is not going to solve anything. But I feel like Sarper is like, oh, well, and Turkey, therapy is frowned upon. And I was like, so... just because your country hates something, does that mean that you shouldn't do it?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. The way he made the comment that men in my country, it's seen as weak or whatever. In your country, does everybody go get drunk with a woman and save the bottles? Does everybody keep a tally
of
people been with? Like, you're so far out on left field that... You seriously, you're not in touch with reality at all. You don't even, therapy would be the best thing he ever did.
Well, another thing, like, have you ever heard anyone in our country say, oh, no one in America does that?
Right.
You know, like, I think that's such a broad statement. Turkey is a pretty populous country, right? There's a lot of people there, lots of different religions, lots of different ways of life. So I think it's really crazy to me that the entire country has taken a stand against therapy. right? They're like, oh, well, you just don't do that. Because in America, you know, there are people, certain cultures, right? Like, I know certain cultural backgrounds, they don't believe in therapy, right? Like, there's certain nationalities of people they don't, and they also, some people don't believe in psychics. There's people that choose, but not an entire country of people. Like, so when he says things like that, I'm like, well, you can't really speak for everybody because you're just one guy. And if like you said, if it's true, you've had sex with 2,500 people, you're not a typical person,
Absolutely.
right? So the actions of you do definitely don't speak for the actions of the other people that live normal lives
Yeah, go
in Turkey, right?
Turkey, ask any man there, is it okay to rip your girlfriend's phone out of her hand and her hair out of her head? See how many of them say yes.
Right, no one, exactly. Like, it's crazy to me. And then tonight, oh, not tonight, yesterday, he pissed me off again because he was like, you're possessive. And I think what really irritates me about him is he's always shifting blame for his behavior on her. And it's like such a narcissistic move because he's like, oh, well, you know, you're jealous and you're possessive. And I was like, she's jealous and possessive because you've never been faithful to anyone. By your own admission, you told her when y'all got together that you've cheated on every single woman, or if you were, well, basically, you've never been in a relationship, and in any relationship that you thought you were in, you cheated on her. Or so, how is she ever? Because he's like, oh, you should trust me, even if.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
If you find a live woman in a closet in my house, you should trust me. And I was like, see, statements like that would make me feel like you can't be trusted, right? Like,
Like that make me feel like you should be with Tiger Lily and you're gonna make a suit out of her.
yeah, like he really, I don't know, like some people really get under my skin. This guy, he just gets under my skin. And it's Shekinah too, because Shekinah, she condones and she allows his behavior to take place. Hey, Austin. And I think that's what gets to me is because, and then she pretends to be bothered by it. And I was like, don't pretend like you're gonna not move back in, or don't pretend you're not gonna be with him. You don't care. You can
So,
find him with another woman, you get over it. Y'all would still be together.
right, Kylie said, has anybody considered that he might have a sex addiction? I did consider that in the beginning. And then I realized what a fake lying piece of shit this guy is. And I thought, he's just making shit up as he goes.
Well, no,
Point
no, I think he's probably a liar and he has a sex addiction. I do, no, I believe that anyone who says, who, I don't think he's really had sex with 2,500
No.
people, but anyone who thinks that they might have, if the number is over 300 or 400 or 500, they definitely are addicted to sex and they have an emotional like block on building relationships, and they have a social issue too, because I don't feel like it's possible for you to have meaningless sex with that many different people and it
Yes.
not affect you emotionally. Right? Because I hate to say this, but sex is something that it can affect you emotionally. And it's not just playing basketball or shaving or cutting your hair. It's not
Right.
just an act, right? It's a connection with another person. And if you can do that coldly and deadly, like having no connection with that other human being, there's something wrong, right?
Absolutely. But also, I'm sorry, but this story went off the rails when we found out he had a kid that he can't find.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, that means if you have one kid out of 2,500 women that you can't find and there's only one, again, you're full of shit.
Yeah. I feel like having or he's sterile, you know. But yeah, there has to be more than one. Or if there's any,
maybe sterile after all the surgeries and stuff. I don't know.
I don't know how much of what we can believe that comes out of his mouth either, because when he looked Shekinah in the face and lied to her face, I was like, so now I don't really know what I can take as fact and what's fiction, because he lies for fun, because that's what Shekinah was saying. She's like, that's not even something that you should lie about. Yeah. It's not serious enough. That's just a stupid, a minuscule thing that you could tell the truth. So he lies for fun. And when people lie recreationally, you really have to wonder, well, what is true about this person? What is actually going through their mind? When you ask them a simple question, like, what did you eat today? And they have to lie to you. It means that lying is more of a hobby to them than anything. It's not that they're trying to hide anything. She wasn't going to break up with him if he said no.
Right.
He didn't plan the next therapy appointment. So that's another thing that I wonder. I think he's a compulsive liar, because a lot of his storyline, 2,500 women, I would like to talk to the Guinness Book of World Records. Like, I don't believe it. And absolutely, all of the things that he says, it's just, I don't know if he actually knows how to tell the truth.
But also, I just want to say, when you go and you look at his Instagram post or her Instagram post or their TikToks, any social media, there is not a single woman on there that is like, he is so fine, he's so hot, he's this, you're a lucky lady. Everybody's like, pack your shit and run, girl. Nobody is attracted to this man. Nobody thinks he's just this godsend. But if you go on to like normal people's Instagrams, you get a mixture of both. You get love and hate. The people that hate are jealous because this person's getting a lot of attention. But then, like, okay, I'm trying to think of somebody that's good from, okay, well, we'll use Jamal. Jamal has every single post. He's got people that are, you know, haters, but then he's got people that are like, you're so handsome, you're the best looking. Yeah. Riley's got the same thing. Women don't like him, but then women want to be with him. It's if they're a good human, people are attracted to that.
Cutting down the middle. You're right.
Yeah, he doesn't have a single positive comment on anything.
Well, I think that his personality, like, looks wise, him and Shekinah are good looking people, but I think their personalities are what turn people off. Like, they're, because, you know,
they're so fake, and people, I realize that's what a lot of people think is good looking or beautiful or whatever. If you look like you were taken directly out of a Mattel box, that takes away all of your personality. It takes away, it literally takes away who you are. And I don't care how many plastic surgeries you have, looks eventually fade. You're gonna run out of TLC money. You're gonna run out of all this shit. So you're not, like, she had to come back to the United States to work because they're not making money.
Well, no, I agree with you. I do think
are not free.
So Donna said they have no redeeming qualities.
No.
And I think that our generation and the generation before, we're convinced that being good looking and beautiful are the only good quality we need. And we're running into so many people that are good looking, but shallow. They don't have a personality. They don't have any good character traits. They're liars. They're deceitful. They cheat on people. They don't value friendship. They don't value relationships because they're good looking.
Yeah.
And they feel like that is like a get out of jail free card for all of the bad things that they do. They're like, oh, well, yeah, I shouldn't have done that, but I'm good looking. How else would you be with someone this good looking? And then you start to see the person that they are. Because I think in the beginning, Sarper was kind of shitty already, but then as we got along, especially this season and seeing the way that he treats women in general, it's not just Shekinah. I think Shekinah, she likes being treated badly, which is a whole nother conversation. I don't think that it's an issue, but we met one of his exes who definitely did not want to be treated badly, and he treated her badly. He ghosted her. He lied to her. He treats women like they're below him and they're property and they're just something that you use when you're bored.
Yeah.
And I think that's why we have this hatred, and we're looking at him and we're trying to understand what Shekinah wants out of him, right? We're just trying to understand what woman who has the ability to think and reason on her own would leave their daughter in another country to go and chase after a man who lies to your face, rips your hair out, treats you like shit. And it's just really mind-blowing because in her mind, she won the lottery.
Yeah.
And we're watching it, and in our mind, it looks like she went to the swamp and picked up the first dead animal that she found at the swamp. She's dragging it on her back. And we're like watching the same thing, but we don't understand where her mindset is.
Yep. She went to the jungle. She picked out Dumbo. She headed home, found out he was a piece of shit, but she can make money on it. Riley said it. It's like her job. And
yeah, so somebody posted on X, they said that they didn't believe Shekinah was fully Amish or was an Amish. So they found an article where she said that her parents, they lived in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and it was an Amish community. And the parents had a lot of Amish friends and people that they worked with, and they said that they raised their daughters Amish, but they were never actually Amish.
Yes.
So does that surprise you? Because I was like, she does sell being an ex-Amish as like her selling point, because even when she was on the Jerry Springer Baggage show, like all of the shows that she was on, she made a point to say, I was an Amish person. Yes. Or I was in the Amish community. So what do you think about that? Because she's basically misrepresenting herself. Or is she? If she was raised a certain way but wasn't actually a part of the community, that's a misrepresentation.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you can't say that. Like, I mean, I guess you can say whatever the hell you want, but I mean, nobody, like, that says, okay, you're pissed off at Sarper for lying, rightfully so, but you're literally lying as well. I mean, I could come on here and tell you that I'm a witch. A lot of people will agree with that statement. But I have no actual witch qualities. I don't know witchcraft. I've tried to ride my broom for a long time and I can't get it started.
I think that when I realized that she was misrepresenting herself and she was using it, because every time she goes on TV and she's like, oh, I grew up Amish and I was in the Amish and the Amish was so controlling, I couldn't live the life I wanted. Then I found out that she wasn't actually a part of the community. It's like when you're part of the Amish community, their kids don't go to like a school.
Yeah.
They like teach them at home. Like it's a very different lifestyle than if you're not Amish. So if you lived in an Amish community, but you didn't actually participate, you're not Amish. Just like if I grew up in a Jewish community, I'm not Jewish.
Right.
I might have a little more understanding of their way of life because I can see it firsthand, but I can't go walking around telling people I'm a Jew.
Yeah,
I'm not. I just grew up around people who were. And I think that this misrepresentation is starting to happen a lot on this show. People want to be known and they want to be a big name. They want to be the next big Angela and they want to make this out of a career. And they're misrepresenting themselves in hopes to become something. Because, you know, the way that she acts and dresses, it's different for to say that she used to be Amish. You're like, well, what happened? You know, you definitely don't look, appear, or act as an Amish woman. So I think that she wants that shock value. And it's like, stop lying. You know, like, I'm so tired of people lying about everything. If there isn't something interesting that you want to share with people about yourself, pick up an interesting hobby. You know, like, start doing something more than your face and your nose and your extensions and make yourself, right?
Absolutely. She could do so much with herself, but she just doesn't.
Okay. So Corona and Inky were back on. And okay, so the consensus on X, a lot of people were tweeting out and saying they would like Corona to stop speaking for the Black community because she keeps saying Black people don't do this, Black people don't do that. And again, I think we were just talking about this with Sarper and people in Turkey. We can't really say what everybody does and doesn't do, because if we want to be real, Corona's in Iceland chasing after a Viking who doesn't even want to marry her. I could say, in turn, Black women don't do that, right? But, right? So I think that it's interesting because everyone's like, why does she keep speaking for everyone? And I think that she has taken full ownership of the Black community on the show. Like she's like the representative for all Black people.
Yep.
On the show. And I think it's a really strange thing because she, of all people, is so eccentric and different and unique. It's weird that she's trying to stereotype herself.
Yeah.
Because At the same time, she dresses like a dominatrix and she talks super different and everything about her is different, but she's also stereotyping herself at the same time. Isn't that weird?
It is so weird. And that's the first thing in my notes. I was like, I didn't realize how much shit Black people don't do, because all the Black people around me do these things. Like, if you told me to describe these cast members, I'm not going to say Inky's the white guy in Iceland and she's the only Black American woman in Iceland who ever did a polar plunge. That is not what I'm going to say. I'm going to say she wore heels. This woman wore heels.
In the snow. Yeah.
She's literally wearing a dog harness with spikes. Like, that's how I'm going to describe her. Her being Black is the furthest thing from the first thing I see.
I barely remember she's Black because, honestly, she's so not stereotypical in any way. She doesn't really fit into any mold of a stereotype. She's a midwife. She is in Iceland, mm-hmm. chasing after a Viking. She's everything about her makes her so different. So it's just so strange that she's trying to embody a stereotype.
The thing is I like her. I like her and I like her family. I think her family is hilarious. But what I don't understand is why did you have to... I understand that there is separation and all of this stuff. I get all of that. But I don't understand why you would go to meet your fiance, your boyfriend, somebody you're not even engaged to yet.
Yeah, not even fiance. Yeah. It's just some random dude.
You're literally on a show about fiancés and you guys aren't even engaged. In fact, I don't even know that you're exclusive, for that matter, because we
that's true.
Never even talked about it. We're too busy focusing on the color of her skin.
Yeah.
But we have to have a group meeting with other Black people and make it look like now there's a total of 4 Black people there.
In Iceland.
And that's it. There's only 4.
There's clearly more than 4. And I don't know why. It could be production, like why they're focusing so much on... Because let's be real, we've been watching 90 Day Fiancé for 10 years. We never focused on people's nationality this much. Like, we never questioned David being a white man and Annie being from Thailand. We never question nationalities and we don't say, oh, you're not Black enough or you're not Thai enough or you're not Asian enough. We've never done that before. This is like the first time that a nationality is being put on the forefront. Like,
yes.
She has to remind us in every scene that she's a Black woman, which is fine. It's visually we know, but it's like her personality is enough for us to get to know. We don't need to put her in any nationality box, right? Like, I think it's really weird. Like, I would hate for someone to say, oh, that guy George, he's the Black guy who has the podcast. Can I be the interesting person with the podcast, or can I be... I would love to not be placed in a stereotype. Absolutely. And I feel like she's working so hard to do the opposite of what I would want.
Yeah. Like I said, if somebody asked me and I had to describe her, her being Black is the last thing that's going to come out of my mouth when I'm describing her, because that is not the first thing I see. I really like her. I like her as a person. I think she's funny. Even though I have seen her kind of do some weirder stuff on the internet.
I have to.
That kind of made me scratch my head a little bit. But I did like her, and I do like her family. I think her family is freaking hilarious. But I lost my point. I forget where I was going with this. But before I saw her doing the weird shit on the internet, I was more focused on him saying, everyone that dates there is related. That was far that more was, interesting than
her. Was way more interesting.
Yeah.
Right? Because and in America,
you guys aren't even engaged and you're on 90 Day Fiancé is more interesting.
I thought it was crazy when she said, oh, I'm flying to Iceland to meet this guy that I barely know and we're going to hopefully get engaged. I was like, that was enough to get me interested in her. I didn't need to know if she was Black, white, orange, purple, blue. I was already intrigued at the fact that she was throwing away an Ivy League education to be from being a doctor to just chasing after some guy that honestly he doesn't even look excited to see her. Like he's very like, this is just what I'm doing right now. Like I don't get any type of commitment out of him. And she went online and I know you saw it and said, oh, this is all a joke. This is all fake. We thought it would be funny, which I don't believe. I don't believe it.
The soft partnering for me is what made me lose a lot of like, I can't wait to watch these people.
Really? Yeah. So, I mean, that was really interesting because she was like, oh yeah.
She created something and decided to run with it. The soft partnering.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that over soft partnering is just basically what did I call it? A gateway to domestic violence. Like, okay, yeah. So I looked at it as somebody does something that you hate and you just don't say anything. And then they do something that you hate again and you don't say anything. Then they do something you hate again, you flip out and you throw a plate at them. Yes. I was like, I just see it as a gateway to domestic violence because it's like you're saying that he does things that really, really piss you off and you just pretend like it doesn't bother you. We're all human. You can only pretend that things don't bother you for so long until you flip out. And I was like, so you're basically saying you can't stand him, but you just ignore it, right? That's basically what she was saying.
So the polar plunge thing, black people don't do this. We have a polar plunge here every year in February. The water is usually between 18 and 22 degrees, so colder than Iceland. And there are tons of black people doing it. There are tons of white people doing it. There are tons of Mexican people doing it because it supports the Special Olympics. It's a fundraiser. It's a neat thing. It's a neat event. I did security for it for a long time, a lot of years when I was in school for criminology. And the amazing people that came out and did it, I never once heard anybody say, black people don't do this.
I mean, I've heard it, right? Like growing up, but I think that in 2024, stereotypes of races, like unless you're a comedian and you know, you're trying to poke fun or get people to laugh, things aren't done by stereotype. Like I've been to concerts for artists that were like rock.
Yeah.
And I was not the only black person there, right? And I've been to rap concerts and there were more white people than black people there. You know, like I think that we're past that point where races embody a certain thing or place or action or event. Like I think we're way past that. Like you can go to a Taylor Swift concert and you're gonna see black people, white people, Chinese people, Asian people, African people. You're gonna literally every walk of life is gonna be there. You go to a Taylor Swift concert and there are trans people, there are black people, white, like anyone that you can think of, because at this point we don't say, because I remember growing up when I was younger, I lived in Louisiana, so we were by the Gulf of Mexico. So when people would go swimming in the Gulf, they'll be like, oh, us black people don't do that. Yeah. You know, when I was growing up, they would say that. But I was like, now, every time I go to the beach here in Florida, there's everybody going out in the water. Like, literally, that is so outdated. And I want her to know, if she doesn't already, you can be black and go to Iceland. You can be black and go to, you can be white and go to Africa. You know, like, please don't. And
do anything you want to do. You can be white and do anything you want to do.
Right? And it's not about like, you know, my people don't do this. Like I feel like at this point in 2024, like it's not really my people, your people anymore. We're just all people.
Absolutely.
I don't really feel like people believe my people, your people anymore. Like I go to like festivals here and there's like a lot of Hispanic culture here. And the Hispanics, they bring out the food and the drinks and they want us to experience it. They play their music. They're very open with everybody experiencing the food, buying the food, listening to the music, trying their foods, trying desserts. Like they don't, it's not a closed club anymore. Absolutely. Right? Like back in the day, it was all the black people would have these events and they just wanted black people to go.
Yep.
Or we don't do that anymore. Yep. And I think that she's under the impression that we're still, you know, we're a closed club. Like if you're not the right color, you can't go. Yep. Or you can't participate. We're so past that.
Absolutely.
Oh, so.
You know, she's very likable. She just needs to move on with it.
Yeah, I like her. I think she's interesting and funny and spontaneous. She doesn't plan anything properly, which is fine. I don't mind. I think people who plan less have more fun. I like her as a person, but I, like you said, I don't describe her as a black girl on the show. I describe her as Corona, who's in Iceland chasing after a bike.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, that's exactly what I get from it, and I feel like that's more interesting.
Absolutely.
Right? I don't want to put her in that box. Also, Josh's brother, Jared, went to China. I want to talk about this real quick.
Oh my gosh. I am so... I have so much to say about this.
Really?
Go ahead. Yes.
Well, we were watching his brother help him bring some stuff up. So first of all, the house is 5 floors. Did you catch that? There was 5 floors on the elevator. I don't know. I wasn't aware that there was 5 floors in this house. So now I understand a little better why Josh is there, right? Because, and then I also tweeted out, I was like, Josh, if you don't want to stay there and, you know, bang your wife, I can volunteer as tribute if I get like floor number 3.
Yeah.
Right? Like the whole floor can just be mine. I was like, because it's not that difficult. You know, this is a hotel at this point. Actually, the hotel that I was in yesterday, only 4 floors. Josh's house had an extra floor than the hotel that I was in.
Yeah.
Just put that in perspective, right?
My question is, why do you put an elevator in your house, in your 5-story house, and it's not big enough to fit a damn mattress?
Huh. That's true. Because how do you get things up to 5 different floors?
You have two characters come and move it together.
That is a flaw. That's a flaw in the construction, because now that I'm thinking back, because I lived in apartments when I was younger, like when I first moved out of my mom's, and they had a freight elevator. Like they had the regular elevator for like people and stuff. And then there was like all the way at the other end, there was this huge wide elevator where we could put all of our furniture to get it up, because there was 4 floors in the building.
Yep.
So yeah, you're right. Why would you put a tiny little skinny elevator and then everything else has to be dragged upstairs, which is dangerous. It's a hazard, first of all.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah, Coco says a dolly system. Yeah, like a dolly system for the stairwell.
Yeah.
It's kind of like what they put the wheelchairs on. It pulls things up and down. Yeah, that would make sense. That would.
So, why is she texting the brother when they have a fight?
I don't know. I was really interested in that, because do you remember? I can't remember which couple this was, but there was another couple back in the day where they were fighting, and then she went and was texting his brother or dad. No, I think it was his dad.
It's Riley.
Wait, was it Riley?
Yeah.
Oh my God, it was Riley. It was Riley and what was her name? Violet.
Yep.
And Riley would get into a fight, and Violet would go and vent to Riley's dad. And I thought that that was the strangest interaction between two non-related people. Right?
Yeah.
Like, why would you have that? And then now we're watching Josh and Lily is talking about their issues with Jared.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's really toxic.
It is.
Right? Like, you can't, because every time you hear something from someone about a relationship and it's negative, you're going to think that that relationship is bad. Right? So, and if you notice, Josh was also talking negatively to Jared about Lily. So it's like a two-way communication of how toxic it is.
But if I'm having problems and I need to talk to my sister, that's fine. But there's no need for my husband to be texting her about our problems.
Well, right, because what's your sister gonna do to fix it?
Yeah.
You know, because she, first of all, your sister should be biased to your side.
Yep.
Right? But we can't always control how people feel. So what if your sister's not biased and then she's telling him things that aren't gonna be helpful? You know, so that was my first thought. I was like, if the person isn't biased, then what if they're being counterproductive to solving the problem? What if they're actually telling them, you should just kick him out, you should leave it? Like, you don't want that type of advice. You know, if you called my sister or brother, they might tell you something like that. Because, you know, my family is super, super, like, dysfunctional, right? Like, we get along when it's convenient, and then we don't, right? So I wouldn't want those people to be that influential in my relationship.
Yeah, I agree. I would be so mad.
I mean, I think that the money, I think they brought this up on X a lot. They said, oh, so we're going to do this money thing every episode. So I do feel like their storyline is lacking a strong sense of conflict.
Yeah.
And I think it's because because they actually probably love each other and they get along. And I think that when that happens, they have to keep beating at the same horse. Because yeah. I feel like every scene she says, oh, this is money, this is money, this is money. And I was like, well, if this is the only thing y'all have going on, I feel like y'all are going to be okay.
Yeah.
Right? Because no one is out of money. You're both, you're not homeless. You live in a 5-story house. If money is the only issue, I think y'all are going to be okay.
Also, right? What the hell did you eat for dinner that was $500? Do you know how much Chinese food you can buy for five? You can spend $20 on Chinese food and have dinner for 7 days.
Somebody online said that it was 500 of the Chinese currency. So they said in like American, it was like $5 or $6 or so. Please don't quote me. I don't know the exchange rate. I'm just saying.
It popped up that it was 3,513 yuan. Is that how you say it? Yuan?
Y-U-N? Yeah. Oh, so it was 500 converted to American.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So what did they eat?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So I could go spend $20 on Chinese food right now and we'd still be eating that shit on Friday.
Oh, yeah. I get like the $12 combination plate and I have like food for 3 days.
Absolutely.
Because they literally give me so much food and rice and egg rolls and sauce. And it literally, but again, Lily picked the restaurant, remember? Because she was like, do you want to eat here? And I think he thought she said it had snake. Yeah. So she picked the restaurant. So it's like, you can't pick the restaurant and then complain about how much it costs.
Yes.
Right? Like, that's my main issue. He doesn't know to eat at any specific restaurant in your country. It's probably not even in the language he understands. He doesn't know what they even serve. You bring him to a restaurant that charges $250 a plate or $150 a plate, you can't be like, can't believe you made me spend $500. He didn't.
Yeah.
He probably would have been fine if y'all went to McDonald's.
Yep.
But you chose the restaurant. And then she's like, oh my God, I spend all this money. And it's like, if you don't have the money to spend, I get it. But if you have a house with 5 stories, $500 on dinner is crazy, but it's probably in the realm of your lifestyle. Right? Yep. It's in the realm of your lifestyle. I don't know what it's like to have an elevator in my home, let alone 5 floors. So I'm going to go ahead and say $500 is not going to make a breaker. And we did figure out that Lily's daughter is a famous actress in China who's been in blockbuster movies, right? Like Shibuti and I posted, or we talked about on his podcast, and then we posted, she just did a movie recently in the last year or two that brought in millions and millions of dollars. Like they're Chinese spoken language movies. But let's say like it looked like a kind of along the lines of like a Harry Potter type movie. It was like a wizardry type movie. So I don't know if all of the money Lily has is coming from her business or it's in the family. Because that was something I was thinking as well. I was like, maybe there's family money. Because if the daughter's a famous actress and she's in blockbuster movies, if mom wants, you know, a house, daughter can just purchase mom a house.
Absolutely.
Because we know that she has the spa. And I think Josh said in one of his lives that like a massage is only like $10 or something.
Yeah.
And the prices there are, and I was like, so how do we explain the 5-story house?
Yeah.
You know, how many massages did she give in the amount of time to do it? So I'm beginning to think that this is family money. I think that the family is very wealthy, right? And the money is never gonna be a real issue. It's fake. I think that this is a fake storyline because I've never heard anybody who lived in a house like that complain about money.
Yeah.
I've never heard. It just doesn't happen. Kim Kardashian doesn't complain about the money on her compound, right? I don't even call her house a house. It's a compound. She never talks about how expensive anything is.
Yep. Never. Absolutely.
Oh, the diva speaks. She says maybe she gives happy endings. That could be probably. Because that costs 10 times the regular rate. So... okay, I don't know that, Josh, I don't know that, but it's possible, right? And I don't even think that's illegal. Is it illegal over there? I don't know. You know what? I should stop talking because I don't have enough information. I don't want to sound stupid. I don't know if that's true or not. Because a lot of people are under the impression that in Vegas, prostitution is legal and it's like not as long as you don't get caught or something. It's complicated because I used to think there was no law against it, but there is. But they don't enforce it.
Yeah.
So that's the whole thing. So you know what? I'm not going to say anything about that because I don't want to sound stupid. Oh, but I want to talk about some of this Mama's Boy that came on last night because we met a new mom and son, so Lori and Chase, which Chase is engaged. I think he's engaged to Tash, I think her name was, and he's actually living on his own in his own home in another state. He's the only mama's boy this season who doesn't have like physical ties. Well, I mean, also Austin and Charlene. Charlene's in Michigan and Austin is in LA, but it looks like Charlene spends a lot of time in LA. But Chase is actually living separate and he has a fiance who's getting married, and his mom, Lori, has a fiance and she's getting married. So this is, it's really interesting. This one stood out to me because usually it's very codependent. They don't let the other do the marriage thing or the girlfriend thing. So I was really interested in this one because they're letting themselves live their own separate lives, but they also have this invasive relationship where they go out together, they go drinking together, people think that they're
Yeah,
dating. So it's really weird to me.
that's crazy to me.
Well, I no one has ever thought that my mom was my girlfriend,
Nope.
right? Like that's never
Never
happened.
thought my son was my boyfriend.
Right. Like it's never happened. So it's really weird when you get so close and they go out drinking, they go to bars, they go to the spa. Kind of gave me like Matt and Kelly vibes, because Matt and Kelly, they do the spa together, they go drinking, they do all of their stuff together. But Kelly is more standoffish when it comes to women in his life, and it seems like Lori and Tash are really
Yeah.
close because they said that they're planning their weddings together, they get along. You know, the only thing was Lori was like, you'll always be number two, but I think all mothers say
Right.
that, right? No mother is gonna be like, oh yeah, or no, she said, I'm the queen, you're the princess, or
Right.
something along the lines of that. But this is gonna be interesting though, because it's interesting to see a mama's boy who gets to live his own actual existence and his mom allows
Didn't
it.
say that he's there every weekend.
Well, yeah, and it's not close. He's in Tennessee, I think, and
Yeah.
she's in, I think, Georgia. So it's not around the corner, right? It's not around the block. So I'm really interested in seeing how that turns out. Oh, so I want to talk about Shahi and Nyla. So Nyla, she came to cook shrimp pasta for the family, and what the issue is, she brought like 10 shrimp total,
Yeah.
and there's like a full family. So there's Shahid, his brother, their her his mom and his mom's boyfriend.
Who
So
he doesn't like.
who he hates, right? That's interesting too, because the mom, she never mentioned she had a boyfriend up until this episode. So I was a little surprised that there was a boyfriend, and then he said that this guy is the biggest mistake she ever made. So I'm seeing that territorial side of Shahid, which is interesting because he's upset that his mom won't accept Nyla, but it's they're doing the same thing to each other. Because clearly this guy has been in his mom's life for 8 years. They've been together for 8 years, but he's not going anywhere. It's pretty constant. And you know, but it's funny because he doesn't approve, and then she can't stand Nyla. She's under the impression that Nyla was a stripper at some point, and she's going to make Shahid pay for everything when they move out together. So I wanted to get your opinion on that, because back in the day, you know, that was customary where a woman moves in with a boyfriend that she's with or a fiance, the man would pay the rent. How do you feel about that? So like, say your daughter was gonna move out with her boyfriend or fiance or husband, would you feel comfortable with her depending fully on someone, or would you want her to contribute so she's not stuck in a situation that she might not be able to get out of?
First of all, my daughter would never depend on anybody. My daughter
Really?
is, oh, she's so independent. She has her college degree. She's young. She's married. She's got her good job. She is a very independent woman. And there's no way she would ever depend on anybody. She would never put herself in a position to be stuck, ever.
Yeah, I think that's good, because we every time I hear these bad situations where women are stuck in and they're in danger, it's because the man has too much power financially. Like for instance, she'll get pregnant and he's like, "Oh no, stay home, take care of the kids. I'm gonna take care of you." And now she's stuck because she doesn't have a safety net of money, she doesn't have savings, she doesn't have anywhere that she can go. He's in charge of everything. He's paying her car note. He's like, everything is linked to him. So her life is now in the hands of this person that she's learned, grown to hate or be afraid of. So I mean, I like that his mom, Shahid's mom, said that she takes money out of his account and puts it in a savings account. And she, I think that that's a positive thing, right? I feel like she's, I think that she does a lot of negative things in his life, and she's definitely counterproductive in him growing up and being independent, but she's also doing like a couple of things that I did agree with. I think that
I agree with teaching your kids how to save. I disagree with you deciding how much you're going to take out. Also heavily disagree with doing it when they're 24 freaking years old. You do it till they're 18. You let them get a job as a teenager. You start pulling money out, teaching them how to save as a teenager. Then, or you do it, you know, till they're 20 or, you know, in college, whatever. I can't say 18's the cutoff, but you do it through their teen years. Once they hit their 20s, they're a whole grown ass adult. Here's your money. Mm. Figure it out. Don't blow it, but don't come back and ask me for a bunch of help.
I think that she thinks she can do it because he's still in her house. Like, I think that that gives in her mind.
Matter. He's a grown ass man. He's 24. Even though he acts like he's 12, he's a grown ass man. He is making his own money, and she has no right to be putting her hands in there and setting it off to the side for him and then telling him what he can and can't do with it.
No.
He is an adult.
I mean, yeah, he's grown. And if he has a job, the money, because, you know, this gets into that Hollywood stuff where the parents send the underage kids to work in Hollywood and then steal the money.
Yep.
It's kind of in that territory because he's going out and working and then she's taking the money. And I'm not saying she's stealing it, but she's saying what he can and can't do with it.
Yeah.
Because he's scared.
She's been taking money out for years to save for him.
He's scared to move out.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want to upset his mother. But at the same time, he should want to move out. He's 24 years old. He has a job. He should be independent. And there's, what's wrong with a 24-year-old moving in with a girl that he likes or loves, wants to be with? That's a pretty normal thing that you would do.
Yeah.
I do think that it's important that she contributes in some way. But again, he said that she got a regular job at a daycare, mm-hmm. Every 2-week pay. Like, I don't think that she's the deadbeat that his mom is
trying
to paint. I don't see that.
There's
I didn't see him
contribute.
Yeah.
There's tons of different ways she can contribute. She can do the grocery shopping. She can do the cooking. She can do the laundry. I'm not saying that we need to move back to the 1920s, but what I'm saying is there are different ways to contribute. If he's putting in more money, she can put in more effort, and vice versa.
Well, yeah, and it should be his decision. If he wants to move in with her and pay all of the rent, he's like you said, he's grown, he's 24, he can make that decision.
Yep.
Some men, I don't agree with it, but some men like to be the provider and show the dominance. I don't like it specifically because I feel like y'all should be equals. And no one should be able to hold over someone's head like, well, I paid all this, I did this. I don't like, you know, power moves.
Yep.
So I don't like when, you know, the man's like, well, if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't have this car. Or, well, you wouldn't have, it's not fair because now the woman feels like she owes you something.
Yep.
Right? Like, I feel like that's the only situation where I wish men and women realize that, you know, you should be more equal. Oh, speaking of, I want to talk about the 60th birthday party for Tina. Josh's mom, Tina, and his wife, Janelle. So Janelle gave Josh a photo of a Louis Vuitton purse that she really, really wanted, right? And Josh, in turn, purchased the purse and gave it to his mom. So
see that? I'm so pissed off about that.
Well, that's not even the worst part. She also, his mom, Tina, also went in Janelle's closet for the party. Well, she didn't know it was the party. She thought they were just going out and wore the shoes that Janelle wore when she married Josh to the wedding. And
so
then
pissed
went
about that too. Me, I'm a mother-in-law. I have a daughter-in-law. Okay, so I cannot imagine even stepping foot in my husband and my son and his wife's bedroom, much less their closet. And if I got a purse, I'd love a Louis, but if I found out that's what she picked and my son bought it for me, I would beat my son's ass. Like, take care of your wife. I'm your mama, but you take care of your wife.
She not only rubbed it in their girls' faces, because, you know, she's got two sons, two daughter-in-laws, and she's like, you know who doesn't have one? You and you. Like, she rubbed it in their face. I just feel like she treats them like they're always going to be second best. And I think that that's a really bad way to be a mother-in-law, right? Like, obviously, you know that your son is going to always love and respect you. You gave birth to him. But you don't have to make the women in his life feel like they should be in competition with you, right? And I feel like she reminds them, because even when she's like, I wish you wouldn't go in my closet, you know, and she just said it like, I'm going to do what I want. Like, what are you going to do? What would you do to stop me? Because at the end of the day, the mom knows, because, oh, we didn't talk about the house. They bought a house in Florida to move back to Florida. She's originally from Florida. She took one for the team and moved to Massachusetts. And they won't move because Tina won't move. Yeah. And he won't leave his mother. So now they're, like, stuck at a standstill. And I think the mom is using it as, like, a high roller card. Like, well, you can't do anything unless I approve it. And so now
I would sneak my happy ass into mama's closet, take that Louis bag, and move my ass to my house in Florida.
That's what I said. I said she should take the kids and pack up and go to Florida and call Josh and be like, do you want to see your family? Come to Florida. That's exactly what she should do. And leave your mom there, right? And I get it that Tina had that, what was it, a heart attack? Yep. And it was touch and go. Super, super scary, right? Yep. Especially she has one child, but they're twins. Mm-hmm. So, like, she has two sons. They're basically the same child, right? So imagine losing that parent or thinking you're going to lose that. I totally understand that. But at the same time, when you start a family, you have kids, you marry someone, you have to make sure that they feel loved and important and appreciated. And I feel like he doesn't care. Like, when she voices her opinions, he just stands there and he's silent. Yep. And just lets his mom just yell and basically say whatever he wants or she wants. And there's no, like, hey, I really wish that you would respect Janelle's wishes, right? Like, you don't have to start a fight, but you could also set boundaries, right? Like, I get it. You know, you think that, you know, you can use her things, but ask her first. Like, just set a boundary. You don't have to start a fight. You don't have to make anybody feel shitty. But you can also, as a man who needs to control, there's two women in your life that you love. You have to set boundaries between the two, right?
Yep. But when mom goes into the closet looking for shoes and there's shoes on the floor and then a special pair of shoes on the top, tucked away, stowed away, obviously you don't wear those.
She, like, can't pretend to make me believe she didn't realize that the shoes in the original box at the top of the closet are not important, right? Yeah. Like, I've seen women's closets. There's boxes on the top shelf with purses and shoes. Those are very, very important. Absolutely. When you look, there's a shelf at the bottom. Those shoes, whatever.
Yeah.
But the stuff at the top that's still in the original box that might still have the bow on it from when they got it, don't touch that shit.
Yep.
Like, everybody knows that. That is not for you to touch. That is something that they received or purchased for themselves that they will cut your fingers off. Absolutely. Over. There is certain stuff that women, and it's that top shelf. Anytime you walk into a woman's closet, there's clothes, there's like a shoe rack at the bottom, there's purses that they might even have on the floor, and then the stuff at the top, don't mess with it. That's where the real stuff is at. And I think the mom is not stupid. The mom knows what she's doing. She just knows that she can get away with it. Tina knows that nobody is going to stop her because her son is going to always pick her over Janelle, which I think is just horrible.
Yep. Yeah, it's, I don't know. I can't with them.
Yeah, Don, I think you're right. She's trying to be a problem because she's, I think deep down she feels threatened.
And by her snarky comments. Why all the snarky comments? She kept saying, even though we argue, I love you. Like, why do you have to keep pointing that out?
I think she's being, what's the word? Vindictive?
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like when you, what do you call it? When you, not provoke, but you rub it in somebody's face.
Antagonize?
Like, antagonize. I think she's antagonizing.
Absolutely.
Like, you know someone's upset with you, and then you're like, you know I love you. You know you're not mad, but they are. You're antagonizing them. You know that it's pissing them off. I feel like the mom does that.
Yep.
And, you know, that doesn't end well.
No.
It could end with Josh being filed for divorce on. Like, it doesn't end well. A woman can only put up with so much shit, right? Like, women are built to take a lot, but they're also human. And if he keeps treating her like she's not important, she'll find somebody who treats her like she is.
Yep.
Right? Absolutely. There's always a man who will treat you the way you're supposed to be treated. You just got to find him.
Yep. I agree.
All right. So we're going to wrap wrap. I think we only have like a minute left. So we're going to wrap. We'll talk about the Matt and Kelly thing next week. They did some speed dating. We'll talk about that next week. But make sure you're following Kara. She's tagged in this video. Make sure you're following me on all social media platforms at George Massey, georgemassey.com. Anywhere you get your podcast, type in the George Massey Show. Oh, and Sunday, we're going to talk a little bit about the new show that's airing in Mexico. Oh, I've known the cast for so long. I'm so happy it finally came out because we have to talk about it because Soulja Boy is back. Ugh. So we have so much to talk about. So we're going to talk about that on Sunday. Everybody have a wonderful Tuesday and we'll talk to you really soon.
Bye.